Let us commence our service this afternoon by singing together hymn number 1044. The tune is Theodora, 511. Water from salvation's wells, thirsty sinner, come and draw. Grace in Jesus' fullness dwells, more than men or angels know. Hymn 1044. Read together from the Holy Word of God in the second book of the Kings and chapter 7. Second book of the Kings, chapter 7. Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a lord, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God, and said, Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. And there were four leprous men at the entering of the gate. And they said one to another, Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. And they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, Lo, the king of Israel hath hard against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. So they came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told them, saying, But we came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied, and the tents as they were. And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. And the king arose in the night and said to his servants, I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we be hungry. Therefore they are gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, When they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city. And one of his servants answered and said, Let some take, I pray thee, 5 of the horses that remain, which are left in the city. Behold, they are as all the multitude of Israel that are left in it. Behold, I say, they are even as all the multitude of the Israelites that are consumed, and let us send and see. They took therefore 2 chariot horses, and the king sent after the host of the Syrians, saying, Go and see. And they went after them unto Jordan, and lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels, which the Syrians had cast away in their haste. And the messengers returned and told the king. And the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. And the king appointed the Lord, on whose hand he leaned, to have the charge of the gate. And the people trode upon him in the gate, and he died, as the man of God had said, who spake when the king came down to him. And it came to pass, as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, 2 measures of barley for a shekel, and a measure of fine flour for a shekel, shall be tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria. And that Lord answered the man of God and said, Now behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, might such a thing be? And he said, Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. And so it fell out unto him, for the people trode upon him in the gate, and he died. May the Lord bless the reading of his own precious word. Grant unto us a spirit of real prayer. Almighty, most merciful and eternal God, we do desire to bow humbly before thy great majesty and to call upon thy great and thy holy name. We do desire to draw near to thee and pray that thou wouldst draw near to us, and that we may come in real repentance, godly sorrow for our sin, with faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray to be led and taught and guided and directed by the Holy Ghost, and that the word of truth may be open to our heart and to our understanding, and that the word may not be in word only, but in power, in the Holy Ghost, and with much assurance, that it may reach into our very souls. Oh, we do pray, yea, earnestly beseech thee, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit may rest and abide upon us, that we may know those sweet drawings of a heavenly Father, that we may know the divine leadings of the Holy Ghost. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And may we experience what we read in thy word, for God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Lord, what a blessed, sacred season it will be, if that indeed is the case. But we do pray, most gracious Lord, that thou in thy great mercy wouldst bless us as a church and as a congregation. Remember our beloved brethren, the deacons. Give them grace, wisdom and help in all their responsibilities, both here and elsewhere. And graciously remember each one of our brethren and sisters in Christ, in church fellowship, and bless them indeed. We do pray thee, those present, those absent. Pray for our dear brother and sister in Holland, that they, O Lord, may feel thy presence and thy blessing even this day. And that we do pray, most gracious Lord, that thou wouldst supply all their needs. Lord, remember us in keeping us in the fear of the Lord, in the spirit of love, union and communion. Defend and keep us from the power of the enemy, who is the separator of the brethren. Grant, most gracious Lord, that thou in thy great mercy wouldst continue to bless us. Grant an increase, a godly increase, those constrained to come and tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour they have found, and point to thy redeeming blood and say, Behold the way to God. Lord, may it be so. May thy gospel have free course. May thy name be honoured and glorified. May poor, needy sinners be gathered unto Christ. May the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it be our portion as we gather around the word of God. And do grant, most gracious Lord, that thou wouldst bless us as a church and as a congregation. The little ones, the children, grant thy rich blessing to rest upon each one of them. In their young and their tender years, grant them the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. Grant them guidance and direction in all matters. Bless the dear young friends. Graciously bring them to living faith in thee. Make them true followers of thee. Lord, there's only one thing that can keep us in this vain world, and that is the love of Christ, the power of his love in our hearts. separating us from the ways of sin and wickedness and unrighteousness, bringing us into union with him, in union with the Lamb, from condemnation free, the saints from everlasting were and shall forever be. Lord, what wonderful truth that we have before us. We do pray that thy word may be a living word. We do pray for the young friends as they go forth in life's journey, and not only to bring them to living faith in Jesus Christ, but to find them a suitable employment, to help them in their education, to grant them a partner in life's journey, one that fears thy great and thy holy name. Lord, do so bless our dear young friends. We think of the prodigals that have wandered from the house of God, from the way of truth and of righteousness, and we pray that thou wouldst graciously cause them to return, cause them to be in want, and to come to the sanctuary, and fill our hearts with rejoicing, with thanksgiving. For there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repented. Oh, that we might experience that joy here of repenting sinners coming and finding hope and mercy and grace in Jesus Christ. Grant, most gracious Lord, thy blessing upon parents, that wisdom, help, guidance and direction may be given to them in all matters. We truly live in dark and solemn days, and that we pray that thou wouldst arise, O thou mighty God of grace, and graciously bless us, and bless our children, our young friends. And Lord, each and every one in the midst of the journey of life, grant thy blessing and thy favour, and thy loving kindness, and grant, dear Lord, that keeping from evil, from unrighteousness. We have to say with the hymn writer, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it from thy courts above. Oh, that it may be so. Most gracious Lord, we do beseech of thee. We pray, dear Lord, that thou in thy great mercy wouldst enable us to cast our burden upon the Lord. And thou hast said in thy word that he shall sustain thee. Oh, that we may be enabled to do that, casting all our care upon him, and realise he careth for you. We pray, dear Lord, for those in the evening time of life's journey, and seek that the arms of thine everlasting love may surround them, and as the outward man perisheth, may the inward man be renewed day by day. We do thank thee, O Lord, for thy help given to our dear sister here. Pray that thou wouldst go on to grant to that healing, both in body and in soul. And each one in affliction, Lord, do undertake, we do beseech thee, for thy great name's sake. We think of thy dear servant at Staplehurst. Pray for him that the arms of thine everlasting love may surround him at this time of affliction. He may feel thy divine support. And though perhaps to his own feelings everything seems to have fallen out of the bottom of this world, and yet, Lord, may those everlasting arms surround him, support him, and sustain him. Remember each one of thy dear servants as they labour in word and doctrine upon the walls of Zion. Set them free, set them at liberty. Thy dear servant expected among us on the coming week, we pray that thou wouldst bless him as he comes among us, that he may dip his foot in oil and be made acceptable unto the brethren. We pray that the wonderful light and truth and power of the gospel may shine into this village and into the surrounding villages and hamlets, and many, many precious souls may yet be gathered in, and that thou wouldst revive and renew and replenish. We read, O Lord, in thy word, that the place wherein thou dwellest shall be too straight for thee. And that exhortation, lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break out on the right hand and on the left, and the place wherein thou dwellest shall be too strait for thee. Great God, we do pray that we may see thy work and thy power and thy glory among us here. And we pray for the little hills of Zion up and down the land, wherever thy gospel is preached, wherever thy servants stand. Oh, we pray thee, send prosperity. As a nation, Lord, we have much to be thankful for. Undeserving we are, whether we think of these things in a personal way or collectively or as a body of people, we're undeserving of thy mercies. And as a nation, Lord, wickedness abounds on every hand. And yet thou hast heard and answered prayer. Oh, most gracious Lord, we do desire to return thanks unto thee for thy wonderful mercy and loving kindness and great goodness unto us. Go on, Lord, to deliver us from the yoke of Europe, and graciously bless our beloved Queen and consort and all the royal household, especially at this time, for thy great name's sake. We thank thee, most gracious Lord, for the wonderful glory of the name of Christ, the wonderful power of his love, the wonderful glory of that holy life, of that holy man, the God-man, everlasting righteousness brought in his glorious person. We do thank thee for the wonderful glory of the cross, sin put away, divine justice satisfied. What wonders, what glories dwell in our Lord Jesus Christ. We do thank thee that he died for our sins and on the third day rose again for our justification. And we desire to render thanksgiving and praise unto thee, O God. And thy mercies are new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness. O most gracious Lord, we do thank thee then for thy loving kindness and thy goodness and the freedom we have to meet together. Lord, bless the means. We do humbly beseech thee that it may redound to the glory of thy great and thy holy name. We ask all with the forgiveness of all sin, seeking that thou wouldst come and touch one's lips with a live coal from off the heavenly altar. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Let us now sing together hymn number 574. The tune is Beechley 585. What a precious needful thing is the Lord and Saviour. Zion shall his mercy sing now, henceforth and ever. In him a rich fullness dwells and is freely given. Law and conscience Jesus quells, crooked things made even. Hymn 574. greatly feeling to need the Lord's gracious help, I would direct your attention to the chapter that we read, the 7th chapter of the 2nd book of the Kings, and we will read verse 9 for our text. 2nd book of the Kings, chapter 7, verse 9. Then they said one to another, "We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore, come, that we may go and tell the king's household." They said one to another, "We do not well." We notice here, friends, that the prophet Elisha, the king, were all in the city of Samaria, and they were surrounded by the hosts of the armies of the Assyrians. They were besieged. They were starving. And it's recorded in the previous chapter. And we see here how the prophet Elisha says, "Hear ye the word of the Lord." They were brought to an extremity, and they came to the prophet of the Lord. "Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." And then we hear the typical comment of the worldly servant of the king. He says, "Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be?" And he was mocking. He was mocking the word of the Lord from his servant. And you know, we read in the word of God that God is not mocked. God is not mocked. Oh, that we might lay these things to heart. And these 4 leprous men, they weren't allowed in the city because they were lepers. So they had to stay without the city, even though the Syrian armies were surrounding it. And so they probably had less food than anybody else, because the people in the city were starving and in great need of food. And so they weren't going to give their food to these leprous men. And you see, but this was of the Lord, that these leprous men were brought into this state, because they said, and we can see their reasoning, that if they went in the city, they would die of starvation. If they stay there where they were, they would die of starvation. And now therefore come, and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. So they ventured away from the city into the hosts of the Assyrian armies. And that was early in the morning. And they found that they were gone. There was all the tents and all the victuals and everything that an army has. And these men, they found food to eat and drink. And they went to one tent, they found gold and silver and put it to one side. And they went to another tent and they had everything that they could wish for. It came to them. And the Syrians, as it says here, the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, "Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. So they arose and fled. The wicked fleeth, it says in Holy Scripture. The wicked fleeth, but it's not necessary to flee. See, the Lord, he made them think that there was this great host that was coming upon them. And so we find these men, they then, in our text, after they'd been from tent to tent, then they said one to another, "We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household." We also notice that the word of the Lord's servant was solemnly fulfilled. There's no doubt that that servant that the king had left to keep the gate was trying to hold the people back. And they trode upon him as he tried to hold them back. He was crushed under their feet. According to the word of the Lord, he mocked the Lord. God is not mocked. And so he lost his life. I want to look at this in the light of the spiritual experiences of the Lord's living family and the spiritual exercises of the Lord's living family. And you see here, these lepers, they said, "We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace." And the Lord's living family, when the good tidings of the love and grace of God come to them, when he visits them with his great salvation, when he opens our eyes, when Christ is made precious, when they're drawn to Christ, when they feel a love to Christ, you know, that's when we need to follow him. And these lepers, they said, "We do not well." You see, to follow the Lord Jesus wherever he leads us. He that will follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. This is the path that the Lord leads his children in. The Lord Jesus is made precious unto their souls, and they're drawn to him. They feel a love to him. It's like these lepers. You see, look at the lepers in this light. Leprosy was a terrible disease, incurable in the days of the Old Testament, and it's very much in Scripture likened to sin. It's an incurable disease. Isn't that what we have? An incurable disease, a sinful heart, a corrupt nature. As the Lord himself says when he was speaking to Noah, and don't we prove it to be so? "For I know that the imagination of the heart of man is evil continually." And don't we prove it to be so? The imagination of the heart is evil continually. And do you prove it to be so? That's the leprosy of sin. And then when the Lord, when you're under that sense of your sinful wretchedness and your helplessness and your insufficiency, and when the Lord Jesus makes himself precious to you, when the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, when you're drawn to Christ, when you see a beauty in Christ, when you see a loveliness in Christ, what as the Saviour of sinners, as him that is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him, you see and you realise, you're raised, there's a hope raised up in your heart. There's a "who can tell" that we read of in the word of God. Who can tell that the Lord will be gracious? And That's the experience of the Lord's living family. And so they run after Christ. They're poor lepers by nature. They're stained and dyed with sin. Oh, but they see in Jesus Christ one that is able to save them, one that is able to deliver them, one that has paid the redemption price, one who is called the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And when you see that, you feel such a love to him. You feel so drawn to him. You feel your need of him. And you keep looking to him. Lord, save me or I die. Have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me. It's like the poor blind men, wasn't it? They sat by the wayside. Have mercy upon me, thou son of David. Something had been revealed to that man, that poor blind Bartimaeus, as he sat by the wayside begging. And what was revealed unto him? Thou son of David. He knew who he was. That's another term for the Messiah. That's what he could see, that he was the Messiah. You might say he was blind. Yes, but he saw in the eyes of his soul that this is the Messiah. This is the one thing needful. And the people said to him that he was to stop. And that he was annoying them with his constant, have mercy upon me. But he wouldn't stop, and he couldn't stop. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And the wonderful thing is this. And we read, and Jesus stood still. The Son of God, the King of Kings, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, he stood still. And what made him stand still? The cry of a poor beggar. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And they brought him to him, the blind man. What wilt thou? Lord, that I might receive my sight. And the Lord Jesus, he granted him that blessing. He opened his eyes. You know, we need the Lord to do that for us in a spiritual way, don't we? To open our eyes, that we might behold wondrous things in his law or in his word, in his truth. And when this day of good tidings, when deliverance, see, what had happened in the city of Samaria was deliverance was brought. A deliverance from a besieging army. It was a day of good tidings. And it is when the Lord, in a spiritual way, comes and visits his people with his great salvation, comes and reveals himself, comes and opens their eyes and their heart, comes and sheds abroad his love and melts their heart in love. And they feel drawn to him. They see a beauty in him. They see a loveliness in Christ. It's a day of good tidings when you see a loveliness in Christ. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, when that word breathed into your heart, that was the words of John the Baptist, wasn't it? He spoke it to his disciples when the Lord Jesus came walking along the way. And he pointed to him, he said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And some of his disciples began to follow him. You see, the way had been pointed out. The way of salvation, the way of redemption in Jesus Christ. These lepers, they needed a cure. These poor lepers. And are you a poor leper? Are you troubled with your sin? Are you a deep-dyed sinner? You feel your need of salvation, of redemption, of deliverance from sin, from its power, from its dominion. Does that trouble you? Does it try you? The constant rising up of sin and iniquity in your heart? It's a leprosy. It's a leprosy that is deep in the heart. You know, the Lord speaks to such in the first chapter of Isaiah. And we read from 16th verse, wash you. This is the word of the Lord, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow, come now. These are the words of Jesus Christ. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, I understand that to make a garment scarlet, it has to be double dyed to get that scarlet colour. You cannot do it in one dip into the dye. It has to be double dyed, and then there is the crimson or the scarlet colour that comes out. And what a lesson that is to us. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, double dyed. Is that how you feel? You're a double dyed sinner. They shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You see, the Lord, he can take away that deep dyed stain of sin, of leprosy, within the heart, within the nature. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Oh, my beloved friends, may the Lord breathe his word into our hearts, the word of his grace. Come now. See, it's only the Lord Jesus can give you any relief from sin and from its power. It's only the Lord Jesus can heal your backslidings. It's only the Lord Jesus can take the stain of sin out. Perhaps you're like we've read, a double-dyed sinner. It's only the blood of Jesus Christ that can cleanse from that sin. Oh, that the Lord may be pleased to grant you that. And indeed, the word here is to one that has known this love of Christ, experienced it, known this deliverance. Their darkness has been turned into day. Their bondage has been turned into liberty. And the good tidings of the gospel of the grace of God. You think of the shepherds as they watched over their sheep by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto them. And bringing them good tidings of great joy unto you and all people. Good tidings of great joy unto you and all people. Have we heard these good tidings? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. That's how faith cometh. There's a hearing. You're given a hearing ear. Up until that time, you're deaf and you can't hear. But once the Lord opens your ears, you begin to hear. You begin to see. He gives you these spiritual hearing and a spiritual seeing. And they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings. And we hold our peace. We hold our peace. You know, my mind seemed very much drawn in as I was thinking of this, what we have before us here. We do not well. this day of good tidings, and in the book of Psalms, and we have it recorded in Psalm 66, of the exercise of the living child of God and the desire of their heart. And it says here in verse 12, it says we ought to look at verse 10, "For thou, O God, hast proved us, thou hast tried us, as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net, thou laidst affliction upon our loins, thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place." Now, what effect did that have upon the psalmist? "I will go into the house, into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer to thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats. Selah, come and hear. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul." To declare what the Lord has done for your soul. "If these should hold their peace, the very stones would cry out. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul." And he says here, I cried unto the Lord with my mouth. He was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Have you had answers to prayer? Has the light of the gospel in some measure shone into your heart? Has the peace of God that passeth all understanding be known and felt in your heart? So you have something to declare. Something to declare. Oh, that the Lord would grant that you may be enabled to declare. Come and hear, all ye that fear God. You see, in Psalm 116, there is a similar experience that is expressed to us of the living family of God. When the Lord brings deliverance, the psalmist, he starts that psalm. It's a word that has been very personally sweet to me. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. Do you love the Lord? "Because he hath heard my voice and my supplications." I love the Lord. You feel a love to him. "Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live." And then the psalmist goes on to express some of the things that he passed through in his soul's experience. "The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul." But then, what did he experience? Gracious is the Lord. He found that the Lord was a gracious God. Just as David, he says, "But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared." Gracious is the Lord and righteous, and he's still gracious. He's still loving, he's still kind. He still hears the beggar's knock. He still welcomes poor lepers, just as he did when he was here upon earth. The Lord Jesus welcomed poor lepers, and he healed them of their leprosy. "The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and he helped me." Can you say that? You think of that Syrophoenician woman, and her daughter was sorely sick and ready to die. And she went to the Lord Jesus, and we read, "And she worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Lord, help me." What a wonderful thing that is. How low that comes, doesn't it? Lord, help me. She worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And here, the sweet psalmist of Israel, he says, I was brought low and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. When Hannah came to the temple, as it was custom, to Shiloh rather, as it was their custom, and the custom come once a year with her husband, and she was in deep distress. She longed for a child, and she seemed to go year after year with no child, and it greatly distressed her. And when she came to pray, and she spoke out of the bitterness of her soul, and her lips moved, but no words came out. And Eli called her a daughter of Belial. He assumed that she was drunk. And she said to him, that I have not touched strong drink. Out of the bitterness of my complaint and her need. And then he answered her, no doubt under the Spirit of God, that she was to go in peace. The Lord grant her that which she had requested. And he did. She went home, and we read this, and her countenance was no more sad. She went home and she conceived Samuel. She called his name Samuel, the gift of God. The Lord answered her. As we read here in Psalm 116, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Her countenance was no more sad. And then there's a walking. It says here in Psalm 116, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. That's among the Lord's people, the living in Jerusalem. I believed. What a wonderful thing. When the spirit of faith is given, when Christ is made precious, I believed. Therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. And Hannah certainly was, wasn't she? I was greatly afflicted. But you see, I said in my haste, all men are liars. And sometimes we can get in that place, all men are liars. But the Lord isn't a liar. The Lord will answer. And the Lord will send deliverance in his own time and in his own way. But it goes on here in Psalm 160. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? This is a day of good tidings. And we hold our peace. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. You just think, each first Sunday, we keep the Lord's Supper. And the Lord Jesus said concerning that cup that we drink of, the wine that is in the cup, this cup, it is the New Testament in my blood. This do in remembrance of me. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord in remembrance of him, of his mercy, of his love, and of his grace. Oh, that the Lord would enable us so to do, to follow him. If any man will follow me. The Apostle Paul, writing in his epistle to the Hebrews in the 12th chapter, he speaks there. And he says this, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The Lord has set a race before you. We just touched on the ordinance. What is that that he sets before us there? This do in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink this cup and eat this bread, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. This do in remembrance of me. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. You know, it says now. Because, you know, we come to these points and these places and we feel burdened and exercised about it. But then we just let it slip. We just carry on. And according to what we have in our text, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings and we hold our peace. There was the besieged city of Samaria and the people in great straits, and they said, we do not well. It is all this great spoil for the city of Samaria. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now. Now. We read also in verse 18 of Psalm 116, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. What tends to happen when we, what we might say, prevaricate and don't do those things, though it says I will pay my vows now, we tend to hold back. Oh, because of this, because of that, because of something else. No, friends, it's now. I will pay my vows now. It says here in the O Lord, in verse 16, O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. Thou hast brought liberty into my heart. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. This day is a day of good tidings. It is. You've got something to tell. You've got something to speak of. You know, it says in the Word of God, a little. You might say, but oh, my religion is so small and my experience is so small, it's so inadequate. But the Word of God is very clear. The little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Then they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings. And we hold our peace. There's a sense of guilt here that comes in. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will be come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. Who is the king's household? Well, we're looking at this in a spiritual light. The king is Jesus. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of the Kings of the Earth. The king's household are those whom the Lord has blessed and gathered together in church union together. And those that have been brought together in this way, in accordance with New Testament order, that they've been baptized. Baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Baptized on the confession of their faith. They confess their faith before men. Apostle Peter in his epistle, he says we should always be ready to give a reason of the hope that is within us. A hope that is within us. We should always be ready to give a reason. Then shall I tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour I have found. I'll point to thy redeeming blood. I'll say, behold the way to God. Behold the way to God. We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. Go and tell the Lord's people. Go and tell those that have been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Those that have been raised up to a hope in the mercy that flows through Jesus Christ. They're brethren together. And it's to be united to them. You know, Ruth the Moabitess, when Naomi was to return to Bethlehem, and she was absolutely destitute. Naomi is a type of the church. Absolutely destitute. Nothing in themselves. But Ruth, she clave unto her. And Naomi said, go back. I've got nothing to offer you. But she clave unto her. She did. In love. Shed a love to Ruth. Do you have a love to the Lord's people? And when Naomi pressed her, and she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people, unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee. Oh, this is the language of a living soul. Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. You want to follow the Lord Jesus. You want to be as near to him as you possibly can. Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. This is the Lord's people. That's what Naomi represents, the Lord's people. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. And you know what came from that, my beloved friends? Ruth cleaving unto Naomi, unto the visible church, that's what it means. She was married to Boaz. In due season, she was married unto Boaz. Boaz is the most beautiful type of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's a man of great wealth, and so is our Lord Jesus Christ. With heaven and earth at his command, he waits to answer prayer. The cattle upon 1,000 hills are mine, and all the gold and silver. It all belongs to the Lord. Then they said one to another, we do not well this day. It is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. You know, as we look at these words and go in and tell in the king's household, just think of that word of exhortation that we have in the 12th chapter of Paul's epistle to the Romans. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Now, what does that mean? By the mercy that you have received. The mercy of God. The love that you have felt in your heart. Drawn to Christ. You see a beauty in Christ. You see a loveliness in Christ. There is a desire in your heart to follow Christ. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto God. Which is your reasonable service. To come forth. To be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. To sit at the Lord's table with the Lord's people. and feel union and commune with them, no more a stranger or a guest, but like a child at home. And then there is this exhortation there in Romans 12, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is the will of God for his people. Is to follow our Lord Jesus Christ. Him that will follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Oh, that we may be given that grace so to do, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Then they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, that we may go and tell the king's household. May the Lord add his blessing to these few remarks. Let us now sing together hymn number 961. The tune is Mount Zion, 377. Be still, my heart, these anxious cares. To thee are burdens, thorns and snares. They cast dishonour on thy Lord and contradict his gracious word. He who has helped me hitherto will help me all my journey through and give me daily cause to raise new Ebenezers to his praise. Hymn 961. Thank you. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, both now and forevermore. Amen.